I think that breweries have a really interesting role to play within the transformation of urban space right now.
I'm John Lewis, and you're listening to 360 Degree City, a podcast where we talk to all kinds of folks that are making life in cities better. Our hope is that at the end of each episode, you'll start to see your own city from a slightly different angle. The vaunted third space isn't home and isn't work. It's more like the living room of society at large. It's a place where you are neither family nor co-worker, and yet where the values, interests, gossip, complaints, and inspirations of these two other spheres intersect. It's a place at least one step removed from the structures of work and home, more random, and yet familiar enough to breed a sense of identity and connection. It's a place of both possibility and comfort, where the unexpected and the mundane transcend and mingle. And 9 times out of 10, it's a bar. This is a quote from Michael Hickey, a community developer in the United States. A few years back, he wrote an article called In Praise of Loud and Stinky Bars. Hickey wrote that bars act as vital gathering spaces for communities. And he's definitely not the only one that sees the value in local bars and breweries. A few episodes ago, I talked with Jim Button, the co-founder of Village Brewery here in Calgary. He developed a collaborative and community-focused beer industry here in Alberta. When giving advice to new brewers, Jim suggests to start with the goal of building community.
Go into a community and be that place where everybody knows you. That place where everybody goes and they go for a beer to relax, or they go to meet somebody, or they go to get something done. You see it with coffee houses, you know. You go into a coffee house, half the people have their Macs folded up and they're doing work and they're meeting with people. Sales are happening, all those activities that happen in business are now happening in these third places. Well, breweries are those third places.
During our interview, Jim mentioned Vanessa Matthews, a researcher in Regina who studies the impact that microbreweries have on community. We figured we'd track down Vanessa to learn some more.
My name is Vanessa Matthews, and I'm an assistant professor in geography and environmental studies at the University of Regina.
She studies the link between beer and neighborhood change. That's a pretty fun field, if you ask me. As an urban geographer, craft beer resonates with Vanessa.
It incorporates production processes, consumption, sense of place, and changes that are taking place in hundreds of communities. Back in 1980, I think we had 40 craft breweries across Canada, and now we are over 817. So we've just seen phenomenal growth happening across Canadian communities.
Today, you'll hear from Vanessa and Mark Heisey about how breweries can build community. Let's dive in. In your research, what are you finding in terms of the positive effects that microbreweries can have in a community?
Yeah, I think there's a number of different elements that they're really changing within communities. So I think these are much more than just spaces to go and drink a whole lot of any kind of alcohol. So they're really forming into community hubs and community spaces. So people are seeking them out for that purpose. So there's a social function, I think, that is emerging in this. They have that emphasis on the local, which what that really translates to for me is that it's emphasizing the importance of place. So you see place names and history being incorporated into the brewery marketing, and people are having that sense of pride and loyalty about their particular neighborhood brewery or the brewery that's in their particular town or city.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. And so is that, are you seeing that as being a driving force from the entrepreneurs and the creators of those microbreweries, or is it a need that's coming from the consumers in the marketplace in terms of that place connection?
Yeah, I think it's coming from both, I think. So I think from the consumption part of it, we had a period where we really didn't have a lot of choice as consumers in terms of the type of beer that we were drinking. We were mostly finding industrial lagers in beer stores and liquor stores. And, you know, in the 1980s, those industrial breweries kind of shifted from taste to lifestyle. So they started to associate beer with lifestyle, and that was a bad thing in terms of what that did to taste. And now what we're seeing is a return to taste that is being kind of led by those craft breweries. And so for consumers, that's a whole new landscape that's being opened up in terms of taste profiles and palates. And similar to the wine industry, people are becoming really interested in learning about all of these different elements and trying to understand them. On the production side of it, you have a lot of people who are just really interested in making good beer, and they're wanting to just share that beer with their community. And so I think you have a number of breweries that are really trying to establish and invest in the local. And they're creating spaces. They're fighting for these spaces to become family friendly in my city. And so all of that is producing all of these differences, I think, that we're seeing on the ground.
Hmm. And so the idea of an evolved palate, let's say, of beer in microbrewery and the expansion of it, that doesn't necessarily lead itself to good neighbors and good places. Can you maybe talk about even some of the examples you've seen of the kind of physical spaces where they're located in a community and what the kind of qualities that that are being demonstrated?
Mm-hmm, sure. So I think based on zoning, when we're looking at larger cities, we tend to find craft breweries going into industrial areas. Oftentimes, it's one of the easiest areas, I think, for them to kind of enter into. But we're also seeing them in kind of downtown areas and at times kind of transitioning neighborhood spaces as well. So they might take over a commercial kind of space. And so they're creating that sense of place, I think, not only based on the brewery itself, and oftentimes we're seeing pop-ups forming alongside or food trucks being added to try to draw out people. We've got the inclusion of patios. So it's a lot of space outside of that physical space that's really shaping and transforming the meaning and identity of that area. I mean, especially when you're thinking about an industrial area that might not have had a lot of people walking past it and visiting it in a frequent kind of way, to suddenly have this hip and exciting kind of space that people can go to tie into community is just really transforming the nature of how we value those spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a previous guest, Jim Button, talked about when they were starting Village Brewery, the zoning, basically the only place they could go was sort of the light industrial area. And that's evolving over time. So it's interesting that there's kind of two elements of it. There's the transformation of industrial space into more community and people space, and then the actual when they're going into communities. Have you seen any like with any urban setting challenges in terms of neighbors being concerned about this this brewery crazy activity going in? I mean, can you give us some examples of any challenges you've observed?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, of course, when you have a brewery going into a neighborhood, there will probably always be concerns. It's kind of a newer thing that's taking place. So there was one brewery that went into a neighborhood in Regina. And I know that there was initially some concerns about its location and its potential location close to schools. But a lot of those concerns were really put to rest when conversations started and the brewery was clear about what their intentions were, and they were clear about the fact that they were wanting to be part of this particular community. So they've become a very family-oriented kind of space. Mm-hmm. And I think that has changed the nature of that position within the community as well.
Okay. Yeah. And it's interesting because the zoning conversation always goes to, or often goes to, the professional premise is use, not the user. But if there's a emerging characteristic, would you say generally an emerging characteristic of these microbreweries that are intending, it has more of a neighbor and community focus than just pump out as much beer as possible and make all the money?
Yeah, I would say that, I mean, I'm not going to say across the board it would be like that,
sure.
But certainly the ones that I'm seeing here, people are really caring about the community as well. And I think that breweries have a really interesting role to play within the transformation of urban space right now. And there's a really large geographical element of all of this. So, mm-hmm. you know, if we're looking at a brewery that goes into a very small community, like a small town of 400 people, the implications of that are probably going to be quite minimal. So they'll just be giving jobs to the local community, that sense of pride, mm-hmm. that local connection. But when we look at it in terms of a larger metropolitan area where space is already kind of an issue and different groups are vying for that space, then I think that's when the more negative implications of things start to come out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the place that craft breweries are really interestingly positioned to perhaps try to mitigate against some of those effects.
Right. So if you had, if someone out there is listening and they're thinking of starting a new craft brewery or microbrewery, what advice would you give them if they were moving into an urban setting where they have neighbors surrounding them to start?
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially if it's a neighborhood that's undergoing transition right now, one of the things that I would say is to be respectful of the fact that there's a history and a people that probably existed prior to that brewery going in. And I think being respectful of that and trying to make connections with the local community is something which goes a long way. And that might mean that you have affordable price points on your menu. It might mean that you are employing local people so that you are contributing to community development as opposed to some kind of gentrification process.
Right.
It might mean that you are creating social functions for the brewery, or that you're doing things like cross promotion, right? So there might be an interesting artist or business that's starting out in the community, and knowing that you're probably going to get that foot traffic, it might be a really interesting collaboration or partnership to have them come in and do a little pop-up to kind of have that cross balance. I know there's breweries that are giving back through charities and through support for local organizations. So that's another thing that can be done. But I think most important is just being a good neighbor and listening to the community, asking them what they would benefit from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so funny. So often in the microbreweries is this specific example, but any sort of urban change, there's a lot of complexity built in, but a lot of it boils down into talk to people and understand where they're coming from. So they can understand where you're coming from and figure it out.
Yes,
it's kind of basic, but it often gets missed in all the complexity for sure.
Yeah. And I think beyond the brewery themselves, I mean, we can try to compel people to be good neighbors and to be good citizens in general, but I think they can also become really good role models to try to fight to promote the types of changes that they want to see in their community. So they can pressure representatives to kind of create positive change. So there's lots of things that municipalities on a broader level can do that deal with ownership and development. Things like rent control or demolition control or kind of trying to create more affordable housing, all of those things at the same time can really go far in terms of ensuring that the investments that are being made in a particular community are helping to raise everybody up within that community.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I guess the one additional question I have for you is if you have a favorite brewery, either, I guess maybe I'll ask it two ways. Is there one that you that's a favorite on the taste factor, and if is there one that's perhaps that's different in terms of what it's doing for community?
Yeah, I think that I'm not going to single any brewery out. I'll try to be diplomatic. What I will say is that it's a really great time to be a craft beer drinker. Since I moved to Saskatchewan in 2012, there's been an incredible growth. So we now have 6 within my kind of broader area, and there's a couple that are coming in as well. I'm certainly benefiting from a lot of the creative recipes that the breweries are engaging in here, and the award-winning brews. So I have favorite beer types. I'm an IPA fan, and I'm certainly enjoying all the sours that are coming out as well. But just I'm enjoying watching how each of the breweries here are really taking up a niche. And so rather than directly competing against one another, they're really just kind of supporting each other and collaborating with one another and really finding their own little space, whether that's the types of beers that they're creating or the ways that they're engaging with the community that surrounds them.
One brewery in Regina found their niche through lentil beer and constant community involvement. I rang up Mark Heise to talk about the work he does at Rebellion Brewing.
My name is Mark Heise. I am one of the owners, and I am the president of Rebellion Brewing Company. We're a local craft brewery here in Regina, Saskatchewan, and we opened about 4 years ago. We make a lentil beer, and my joke, our lentil beer is our number one selling beer. Very, very innovative, very creative. There's the lentil industry is a big, big deal in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, yeah.
But as I like to tease the industry folks, I said lentils aren't cool, but lentil beer is cool. And of course, they know because you know we work together to make this lentil beer happen, and that's the whole point, is to just elevate the profile of lentils because beer is cool. Beer is cool.
Yeah.
And so.
I think that's an interesting example of the kind of small ecosystem that you can create when you're focused on, you know, building community and capitalizing on what's great about a place, that lentil beer specifically, because that's truly unique, and that's the first time I was made aware of your brewery when I came home to Regina. My brother, who's a farmer who farms lentils, said, "You got to check this out." And so we had some, and it's a really important industry to Saskatchewan. It's been growing over the last number of decades, but that you're capitalizing and reflecting the uniqueness of Regina and Saskatchewan, which resonates with people, right? Like you could go to any number of big box developments, get blindfolded and get dropped down if you're in London, Ontario, or Yellowknife, or Calgary, or Regina, and you wouldn't know where you are necessarily, but you're helping. What I think is cool about the brewery story is how connected to a place it is, which is something that reflects the uniqueness of each individual community, which is pretty awesome.
I would say I'm pretty naive. I've never owned a business before, but when I actually look back at some of the initial stuff that, you know, I thought that I wanted to accomplish with this business and what I had in mind of what I thought was possible, I remember the first time our mayor came to the tap room and had a beer, and the kind of the usual introductions, and he was what are you about? What are you trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. And I said, this may sound lofty, but I said, when I want people to think, when they think of Regina, I want them to think of Rebellion Brewing. And I said, that's my goal. I want to put Regina on the map. I want to put Rebellion Brewing on the map. And I think there's the opportunity to do that. And I don't know that we're necessarily there yet, but we're really working towards that. And he certainly didn't give any indication that he thought I was nuts when I said it at the time. But I'm not sure he 100% believed me. But you know what? Not that me and the mayor talk regularly, but we run each other a few times a year, and he comes down to the brewery a few times a year. And I think he's kind of seeing, these guys mean business. These guys do want to do these types of things. This is really cool. So it's awesome. It's awesome. We've worked really hard to try to be a part of the community, and then you start seeing it come back to you, and you see farmers come in, that like you say, they grow lentils, and they're some of them are like literally shaking. They're like, "Thank you so much for doing this, making this beer with something that I made." They're just beside themselves. It's a great feeling, and we hear it from charities, and I've gotten some handwritten thank you cards from other groups and organizations, just saying, thank you for raising awareness. Thank you for being part of this. Thank you for showing up at this function and just, being there. That makes you feel pretty darn good. You really are having an impact. So
yeah, for sure.
It's, it's a fun way to make a living. It's tiring, it's exhausting, it's stressful, but the fun factor never ever goes away.
Similar to Jim at Village Brewery, Mark strives to build up other breweries and industries in the city.
I try to do what I can to mentor people. I've helped several folks with their business planning and because I want to, one of my famous quotes I like to use, I'll use the clean version. I said, I want to see more cool. I just say, I want more cool stuff. I want more cool stuff in the community. So if I can help someone else open a cheese shop or a sandwich shop, or figure out how to get borrow some money so that they can get some more tanks to make wine or this or that. Hey, mm-hmm. I'm more than happy to sit down and have a beer with you and hash it out. So I've had lots of other people that give me their time as well when I'm kind of in a pinch and just want to bounce some ideas off people. So mm-hmm. really cool. It's powerful. And that's the one really unique thing about the brewing industry. And I still get it whenever other people that aren't from the brewing industry maybe come and hang around for a while, and because other brewers are always coming to our tap room to hang out, or I'm on the phone or I'm texting with them, and they see that interaction and they'll overhear our conversations and they'll say, I can't believe you guys share that information, or I can't believe you lent that guy some extra growlers because he was out. And that's just a community spirit. I'm not in competition with some of my good friends that are trying to run breweries here in Regina. I'm not in competition with them. I'm in competition with these gigantic multinational corporations, right? I'm not going to give them some growlers if we run out. but guys that I've been friends and we've been making beer at home together for 10 years, like, absolutely I'll help them out if they're in a pinch, and they've done the same for me. But it just blows people's minds, whether it's an electrician or a plumber or something. Like, I'd never loan my tools to another electrician, right? Like, right, they'd say, right, like, wait, right? But again I think it's inspiring, right? It's showing that there's a better way to make a living. There's a better way to build a community. Cool. It's really powerful stuff.
This was a really fun episode to create. It's inspiring to see places like Village Brewery and Rebellion Brewing provide a sense of place, build up other industries, and give back to their community one pint at a time. Now, if you'll excuse me, after all this beer talk, I'm feeling a bit thirsty. 360 Degree City is created by the team at Intelligent Futures. To learn more about the work we do, you can go to intelligentfutures.ca. If you like the podcast, please share it with someone that might be interested in seeing their own city from a different angle. I'm John Lewis. Thanks for stopping by.